I think like the more you educate yourself and the more you learn, the less the risk is, because you're like more informed on all the things that could go wrong, and you already like thought about how you kind of mitigate it, you know? So like, what if your contractor runs away? What if you have bad tenants? What if your house burns down? What if you get scammed different ways? But like, I thought about all the different things that could go wrong and all the different ways to mitigate it. So I felt pretty confident, at least at the time, that, hey, we can figure this out and we could make this work.
What's up, y'all? You're listening to the Carrot Cast podcast, the podcast with a funny name, but a big mission. We help thousands of real estate investors and agents grow rock solid mindsets, do better marketing so that you can build a business of freedom and impact. I'm your host, Trevor Mock. Let's dive into today's episode. Guys and gals, we've got an amazing episode today. One of the reasons I'm crazy excited about sharing the story of Daniel today. I'll introduce you guys to Daniel Kong here in a second. He was at the Carrot Camp. Now, you guys have probably heard, if you've been listening to the Carrot Cast, a slew of Carrot Campers coming onto the Carrot Cast to share their stories and share what they're doing. And that's because whenever we get to meet people in person and see their stories, see exactly what they're doing to have success, it almost like changes us internally at Carrot too, to go, this is why we do what we do. And with Daniel, that was one of the stories. He was up front, giving his talk in that first day at Carrot Camp. And I was behind the room, and there's so many people just like looking around and going, oh my gosh, like, you know, their eyes were popping when he was sharing certain things, both the results that he's getting with Carrot and his other marketing and how he did it, you know, how he's executing with Carrot, but also just an impressive dude. So we're going to be able to share this story, how he stepped into become a full-time real estate investor, doing seven figures, guys, in one market, pretty much with, you know, one or two marketing methods, not a whole lot. Seven figures in a market, very tight marketing strategy using Carrot. And he just hiring his first full-time employee. We had just talked about just recently too, starting to build that team. So without further ado, I want to bring on Daniel Kong into the podcast, and also Mr. Brady Winder. Brady Winder, guys and gals, has been a part of the Carrot content team for years, is the content strategist at Carrot. And you guys are going to be hearing a lot more of Brady on the podcast. He's going to be leading lots of the podcast episodes, and this is going to be one of those episodes we're going to be running together. But Daniel, welcome on the podcast, man. Pumped to have you back, buddy.
Thank you, man. Super appreciate it. And it was an excellent experience at Carrot Camp, just meeting you guys, like the legends behind some of the success we're having. And just you guys are good people, like in and out. So it just was a pleasure. I learned so much, made some good relationships. And yeah, just stoked to be on the podcast today. So thanks for having me, you guys.
Dude, awesome. The conversations we were having at the winery that night before, you know, that was before I had the full context of what you'd been doing in the business and with Carrot. And I just want to thank you, first of all, because that's why I keep doing Carrot Camp. Like, I love being able to connect with people just like you and so many of the other people this past couple of weeks from Carrot Camp. But I'm like, dude, hearing your story and hearing the impact and the transformation that you've had since having your job and now to a seven-figure, you know, business owner in a period of a couple of years, dude. And you're hiring people and you're inspiring people on your TikTok and Instagram stuff, dude, that fires me up. So thank you for coming and just stepping into Carrot Camp full force and sharing your story and just being a guy who implements and executes, dude. So appreciate you big time for that.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I honestly, like, I feel like I should be the one thanking you, like those conversations about just like life and business. And so I think like when I first started, I started out as an investor right here, trying to make a little bit of thing on the side, but like, it's really with Carrot, it's really allowed my business to like, to flourish. And now we've had like I'm basically transitioning from an investor to like a business owner now, I feel like. And so a lot of the things, takeaways from Carrot were like, hey, how do you run a business, which is way different than just being like an investor on the side. You know, I think Carrot's played a big role in me kind of making that transition and being able to do that. And so now it's just like the different kind of problems that we're facing now as a business versus like as an investor. But I mean, it's an awesome journey, and just thank you guys for just being a part of it.
Dude.
Thanks, man. So we're gonna dive in, and we're gonna break down the steps for y'all of like what Daniel did to be successful with Carrot. Before we dive in, one of the things I think is worth mentioning is that Daniel, when you got up to speak at Carrot Camp, there was something different that set you apart from everyone else in the room. There was this, and it's kind of hard to put words to, but this sense of like calmness and the sense of like contentment. You just seem like have this like this really, maybe it's just because you're from Hawaii, this really good vibe to you, like you're really relaxed and you weren't stressed. You know, a lot of people who are doing the numbers that you're doing are just, it really wears on them, but you seem to, your life's not falling apart. You seem to be really happy. And 1.1 million net revenue in your first year of wholesaling. Dude, that's impressive.
That's impressive. It's not my first year, but it's
one year.
The previous year, I mean, it's the last 12 months, and it was for fix and flipping. So we wholesale very little, but it's mostly fix and flipping. So
mostly fix and flips. Okay, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So tell us about how you got started, man. Like, what were you doing real quick before you got into the whole investing thing?
So about like 3.5 years ago, I was working as a software developer. So I've been a software developer for like a long period of time. Right out of college, that's my first job. I was actually doing some like youth ministry on the side. And then I was going to get married like that year. And so I was like, hey, I need to like kind of step away, spend some more time with my wife. And so all of a sudden I had like all this free time in my hands. And so a friend randomly gave me the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then I read it, and it's like the blue pill, red pill kind of thing, right? Like my eyes opened to this idea of passive income and real estate. I was like, oh, this is like amazing. So brand new rookie, knew like absolutely nothing about real estate, nothing about business, nothing about sales. Just like, hey, this sounds, let's just try it out, you know? So I just started consuming a lot of content and just basically took all my free time, like, and just started learning, educating, and just kind of diving into it. A huge, bigger, like, Pockets fan, and just their books and stuff, and just like reading a lot of things. And I dove into it just head first, like in the very beginning. So I started That's with, awesome. I didn't have any money when I first started. And so I don't know how much of that journey you guys wanted to go into, but basically I didn't think, so Hawaii is like such a high price point market. I didn't think I could play in the Hawaii market because houses at that time were selling for, let's say, like 800,000 or whatever, or more, or whatever. It's just like, it was a crazy market at the time. And so I was okay, I don't have like any money. Like there's no way for me to buy a house or to do fix and flip over here. Or my idea was getting rentals, right? So passive income. And it's Hawaii on average is like a kind of like a generally like bad cash flow market. So it's also like made me look to the Midwest to kind of start my journey. So I started my journey like thousands of miles away, like doing like virtual burrs in Indianapolis, actually.
Really? Yeah.
Did you have boots on the ground? Why Indianapolis?
It was a long process, but so like to kind of break into like my mindset, I'm a software developer, so like we're very logical, right? I have some tools on the software side that's like very helpful for me. What I did was I actually built this script that like scraped like different websites, and it took like all these turnkey websites that were selling like rentals in different areas in different markets, and then consolidated it into like a database that kind of like aggregated all the data to say like, okay, on average, which markets give you the highest cash flow on just like on regular rentals. And so if you're familiar with the burr strategy on the exit, you want to have as much cash flow as possible. And so if this market just naturally tends to have higher cash flow on average, it's easier to be an exit as far as like a normal house will cash flow positive, you know? So there was a few markets that I kind of identified that was okay, these were the higher cash flow markets on average. Indianapolis was one of them. And then just did more market research on this. Like, hey, it's a great economy. There was like sports towns. You got like the Pacers. You got the Colts. You know, the Indy 500. You got Salesforce. There's a bunch of different like factors and like the economic drivers. There was like centrally located, et cetera. And so like Indianapolis just seemed to be like the perfect fit for like a cash flow and like a burr investing market. So.
Interesting. That's wild. That's I don't think I've ever heard anyone with that sort of story of like, this is how I got into real estate, building scripts for other websites. That's awesome. So walk us through when you're first, you know, you first started doing, was it wholesaling or fix and flips? So you started first fix
and flips because you're trying to get rentals first, because I was like, the whole plan from the beginning was to get passive income. So basically I borrowed money from my 401k. I went to like local banks. So you can do this thing called like a personal line of credit where they don't check, like it's an unsecured loan. All they need is your credit report and like your incomes, like your income statements. And at the time there was some like no doc ones you could get, but a bank would give you between like 15 to 30 grand and just like a personal line of credit that you can access. So I went to like five banks in my area all at once and like opened up like 20, 30, 40 personal lines of credit, or 15, whatever. I had like 100 something grand just lines of credit. And from there, if you borrow from your 401k, there's no penalty. If you take out, you got to pay some taxes. But if you borrow, you just got to pay it back in 5 years. So I brought the max I could from my 401k, took out lines of credit, and then I had like 150 in lines of credit and loans. Then I was able to do like my first deal in Indianapolis, and that was like the first burr. And so the 150, access to 150, right, in loans was all I needed to do like the full burr in Indianapolis. And so that first year when we started in 2019, We did our first burr, and then like it was successful. We did six. I mean, we did five more, so we did six burrs in Indianapolis. And my whole goal was like, hey, there was a lot of like ups and downs, bruises as you're kind of like figuring this thing out. Like no real estate experience, no renovation experience, nothing, none of this, right? So just reading, learning, and kind of like fumbling my way through it. But we got
Go ahead.
No. So then we basically like that first year, it was pretty successful. We built out a team through trial and error in Indianapolis, and we're kind of rolling. I was like, hey, this is amazing. If I just had more money, then I could supercharge my burr machine in Indianapolis and do like, instead of doing six a year, let's try and do like 20 a year and see like what we can do, right? So my thought was Hawaii is a terrible place for burrs, but it's a great place for fix and flipping because of the price point. So if I can learn the skill, take the skills that I've learned here, try and go to my local market, fix and flip here, make some money, and then I can apply it to my burr machine that I had kind of going on in Indianapolis. So that was kind of like the first year and how I kind of started.
Okay. I love that. It's making my stomach hurt just a little bit listening to this, because I can feel like the nervousness and like just jumping in, diving into the deep end of the pool. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because like Trevor and I were on just before you with Adam and Amanda New, also at the same care amazing camp
people,
as you.
Amazing people.
Yeah. But it's funny the contrast between your story and theirs. And their story was basically, hey, we came from really well-paying W-2 jobs. We had a lot of money, so we didn't grind out. We threw money at our marketing, and you're coming at it from the side of like, I didn't have money, so I just went into as much debt as possible. And there from Marriage Dynamic, you went into this, sounds like by yourself in the beginning. Mm-hmm. We're pulling out those lines of credits. Was that just like, hey, I'm going to go do this, hope it works, and then tell my wife when it works?
You know, it's funny. It was actually like, it was a little struggle in the beginning because I had like zero real estate experience, right? So like, it might seem like I might not know what I was doing, which I kind of did and kind of didn't, so my wife was super against it. So it took a lot of convincing. We were actually dating at the time. So then it was kind of like, she's like, you're going to lose all your money like in real estate. I was like, but I was reading so much and learning, and there were other guys who were doing it successfully. So I kind of just basically modeled kind of like their template of what they did. Like, you know, so like, I think like the more you educate yourself and the more you learn, the less the risk is, because you're like more informed on all the things that could go wrong, and you already like thought about how you kind of mitigate it, you know? So like, what if your contractor runs away? What if you have bad tenants? What if your house burns down? What if you get scammed different ways? But like, I thought about all the different things that could go wrong and all the different ways to mitigate it. So I felt pretty confident, at least at the time, that, hey, we can figure this out and we could make this work, you know? So.
Mm. Okay. And one thing that I think is really important as well, I want to toss out here for everyone listening, is from the start, because you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a lot based on, hey, let's build up that rental portfolio and build the, what I call evergreen income, right? You have, you have hamstwheel income or transactional income, then you have evergreen, you have hamstwheel marketing, you have evergreen marketing. Mm-hmm. And you did it intentionally from the start to build up that evergreen income, right? And so what happens with a lot of wholesalers and flippers oftentimes, and real estate agents as well, is we see the income opportunity for flipping, wholesaling, or being an agent, but we see the transactional opportunity. We don't really have oftentimes that next vision of what are we doing with the transactional income I'm making so I can put it into something that's evergreen. So if I wanted to in 10 years, I could step off of this transactional, you know, hamstwheel business, or I could hire someone to run that because now the portfolio is bringing in the cash flow that I'm looking for. And so that's really, really insightful that you did that. And I want everyone to listen to this to go like, what is your guys' end game, right? If you're a wholesaler, a flipper, or an agent, what is the end game with it? What are you doing with that cash? Now you could just build an amazing business that does 2 million a year, a million a year, half a million a year. Mm-hmm. And that's great income. And you like doing the craft of the work. Amazing. That's a great outcome. As long as you're okay with that being your job forever until you build a team to do it or you build the evergreen income. But a lot of us have that bigger vision. So guys, latch into what he said there. What is the vision after flipping, wholesaling, and being an agent? Or how do you make it so as you're growing, you can buy back that time? We'll talk about that probably towards the end of this call, how Daniel has started to shift his mindset towards buying back the time now that he's got the income. But awesome work focusing on the end game in mind first.
So you're doing the burrs. At what point did Carrot come into the picture, and why? Like, how'd you stumble upon the vegetable website builder?
So it's like when you look at the Indianapolis market, it's a stark contrast from the Hawaii market, where every day in my inbox I get like 10 wholesalers, hey, sending me deals, slinging deals, hey, do you want to buy this deal from me? And so like the deals were relatively plentiful, right, in the Indianapolis market. But then in Hawaii, it's like a very different market where there's no wholesalers in Hawaii. And then the price points are high. The deals are few and far between, but they're usually like a lot bigger deals. And so when I was thinking like, hey, I'm just going to fix and flip in Hawaii and like the exact same thing to that I was doing in Indy, and then I can empower my burn machine over there. The biggest challenge in the very beginning was like, how do I get a deal in Hawaii? And I think like the first, like honestly, like 4 months or the very beginning, it was like a huge struggle. Just like, how do I get a deal in Hawaii? Just because it's such a great, a difficult market to break into, I think, as an investor or a wholesaler or even as a fix and flipper. And so I tried like some direct mail, and then I stumbled across Carrot. And I think it's a natural, it was a natural synergy between what I know and what's like what makes sense to me, because like I come from a software developer background, right? So I have some like web experience. I have some like a synergy of like, I understand like how the web works. I understand how like to build websites, et cetera. And so I was like, hey, like this is kind of aligns with like what my background works with. And it's a, seems like a great marketing channel. So like, let's see if this would work, you know? And so basically I spent a lot of time and energy, like building up my Carrot sites, and then just trying to like do some online marketing with Carrot. So that's basically how Carrot kind of came into the picture when I first started like marketing in Hawaii.
Hmm. Was there any, so you mentioned you were going into this with not a lot of money, and there are cheaper solutions out there, you know, as far as websites, but were there any hesitations or like any concerns when you were getting started, getting your website set up?
I mean, when I first started, I think there was like two or three other like kind of like big names that people were like talking about as far as like investor like websites, but I mean, Carrot is like super reasonable. I mean, it's like $100 a month, or I mean, like when you're saying price, like, whether it's 100 or like 150, it really doesn't matter. Like, I mean, like it's the value that you bring for your website, and it's not just for marketing. It's like your credibility, because I talked to a lot. Actually, it's funny. I talked to some other investors, and they're like, you know, I talked to a seller, and they're like, do you have a website? And I was like, no, I don't have a website. Like, why should I have a website? But it's like, it's a no-brainer. Like, if a Carrot website will instantly give you instant credibility, you can put your picture on there or whatever, or have your company. And so, like, why not just have, like, and it's so cheap. Like, you know, like, really, I don't know what it is. Like, honestly, it's like $80 or like $700 or something. Just to have that instant credibility, it's so worth it to just have, like, a web presence, I think, no matter where you are, if you're going to do marketing online or not, you know. So, but basically, it was kind of like a toss-up, like, for the few ones that were available. I just, Carrot was like a little bit better than the other guys at the time. And so I just went with Carrot, and I'm so happy that I did, you know, so.
That's awesome. So correct me if I'm wrong, but when you were at Carrot Camp, you were saying that it was about 80% of the leads or the deals that you had closed were coming from through Carrot. Were those through SEO?
It's a combination of SEO and PPC. So when I first started, actually, in my first journey of Carrot, when I launched my first like few Carrot sites, just trying to see which ones would stick, et cetera, you're not going to rank anywhere for SEO, I think, in the very beginning, right? So it's going to take a little while for you to kind of climb those rankings. And so I put some money into PPC to try and like just appear in the search, the Google searches for We Buy Houses or Sell My House Fast. And so like that's actually when I got my first deal or my first few deals from that PPC like section. So.
And guys, okay. And that's what we teach. And so what Daniel's doing here is he's executing the game plan, right? He's executing it perfectly, because just like Daniel said, the SEO side does take some time. Now, Daniel does have a background in tech, but he doesn't have a background in SEO as far as I know. And so he learned that through our process, our training, and then use our tools. But we have so many other people like the news, do not have a background in tech at all, or Brian Rockwell, school teacher, not a techie. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to be a techie. That did give Daniel a little bit of advantage, probably just because he could pick things up and work with software faster. But guys, start with the Google pay-per-click, no matter what market you're in general, mm-hmm. because you can end up getting those leads and deals quickly while you're building that SEO. And in a bit, it'd be really cool too to dive in a little bit in detail. You had mentioned a second ago, you said, hey, I started launching Carrot sites. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a strategy Daniel's using. I'm going to give you guys a little cliffhanger. We'll come back to it, where he has a number of Carrot sites with different, essentially different people running those sites to really cater towards the different avatars in the Hawaii market. And he's doing really, really great with those. So we'll show you guys how can you really corner your market in the search rankings with multiple Carrot sites if you want to too. But cliffhanger, we'll come back to that in a little bit.
Let's talk about expectations. Like you signed up for Carrot, You signed up for Carrot because you wanted leads. You wanted leads in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. What were you, and you knew you needed to do some PPC, like supplement with paid marketing in the beginning. What kind of leads were you expecting? Were you expecting anything right out of the gates, or did you know how much work you needed to put in?
Honestly, like, I was so green. Like, I knew absolutely nothing. So I had like no expectations. I was just like, let's just see what, I mean, this, it makes sense. Like, the, just a general concept of it. Hey, like, I'm like, I use Google all the time. So like, I feel like if you're trying to sell your house, if I was trying to sell my house, I would use Google, you know? So like, yeah. It just makes sense to show up in the Google rankings as far as just like the, when people are searching for to sell their house. And so I was like, hey, if I can get like one deal or like a lead over here, like, it'll be awesome. But I didn't really have like too many expectations when I was first starting. And I had like a relatively small budget too as well. So like we actually got very lucky in our burrs in Indianapolis where we did some like full burrs where we actually were able to pull out cash from our refinances to actually have like a little bit of seed money for like some marketing efforts. And I still had my full-time job at the same time, right? So like, it wasn't like I'm like poor. And I had like a very low rent, but I mean, like, I also, I didn't have much money saved, but I had like a little bit of money to spend on PPC, like, you know? And so I think in the beginning, I was like, also just like, I like to learn and I like to like learn new things. And so I just kind of deep dove into PPC and SEO from like the start, just YouTube University, you know, watching some of like probably the Carrot tutorials and just reading the different things and just trying to learn as much as I could myself to kind of do it myself in the beginning, because I didn't have the funds to pay for like a PPC manager or to pay for like an SEO manager. And even if I did pay for somebody, I wouldn't know what I was paying for, what they were kind of giving me, you know? So.
That's such a good point, because a lot of people will say, well, shoot, I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. You know, can I have success with it too? And that's what we like to tell people, like, carve out the time, learn the basics of it or learn it. So then you can hand it off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And one of the things too, because a lot of people say, well, shoot, I don't have a big budget to start. You don't have to have a big budget. You're either going to work your butt off time wise or start with a small budget like Daniel did or Brian Rockwell and tons of others. Because when you close that first deal, you just then take the majority of those profits and put them back into marketing, because now you have a budget to work with.
Yeah.
But focus on getting that first deal done, the first deal, then put those profits back in. But dude, with your first deal, it sounds like it's probably from PPC, the first Carrot deal. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what was the return on that one? Approximately how much in paid ads did it take to get that deal closed?
You know, like, I don't remember off the top of my head what the paid ad spend was. I want to guess. Yeah. I'd say maybe it was like $8,000. That's like just a guess, I'd say. I think I was kind of spinning my wheels in the very beginning, like trying to I think I was probably marketing for about 4 or 5 months on Carrot before I kind of landed my first deal.
Yep.
But honestly, like, it was, and honestly, like, it's, I threw away like a lot of leads because I'm inexperienced. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I'm a natural introvert, right? You know, so when I go on these seller appointments or whatever, I'm like, hey, do you want to sell your house? And like, I have like no sales skills whatsoever. I like very little real estate skills at the same time too. And I had some of these ideas. I was like, oh, this would be cool to give the seller, et cetera. And so in the beginning, I was like, okay, I should come off as like a professional company, right? You know, so like, I think there was some like people who I was talking to, like wanted to sell their house. And as I go up to them, like, I think, okay, should I be as professional as possible? Like, you know, and so I have like all these professional looking sheets, whatever. And like a breakdown of like why the price of what I could buy a house for with all the expenses. And like, it was like the super, like, I guess like impressive, but then like at the same time, it was like really dumb at the time in retrospect. And so I gave these sellers these sheets. So I was like, this is a breakdown of what I could buy the house for and why, like all the repair costs of like down to the detail, right? Like the ARV, holding costs, et cetera. And then I'd give it to them. I was like, hey, this is something you'd be interested in. I'm sure they shopped it around and they ended up like not going with me, like, you know? And so, but it's just like learning lessons in the beginning where like, there's a lot of like quality leads that I just could not close because I didn't have the skill set or the ability to like to work and figure it out, you know? And so.
What's your average profit per deal right now, Daniel, with your online marketing?
It's probably like, I don't know the number off the top of my head. It's probably about 100,000, I'd say, is like the average profit per deal.
Because what's popping up, I'm writing some notes here. And this is what I want everyone to understand and realize here is whenever we're talking about marketing, we're always talking about a return on your marketing. Mm-hmm. Or in like in the marketing world, we talk about ROAS, return on ad spend, right? Mm-hmm. And so when Daniel said $8,000 to get that first PPC deal done, maybe on, in an approximation, there's probably a hunk of people going, $8,000, that's crazy, right? But you got to remember, it's market dependent. So you always base your marketing spend based off of the average profit per deal that that market can yield. So if you're in Birmingham, Alabama, where a wholesale deal maybe is $12,000 or whatever, I'm making that number up, but I've done two deals in that market with clients, and they were about that. I'm not going to spend $8,000 to get that deal, right? But in Hawaii, where your average profit per deal is $100K, right? Then it's like, dude, $8K all day long. I'll pay $15,000 for that darn $100,000 deal, right? And so guys, think about the math there, because that's what you're looking at. Every market's going to be different. Your market might be $3,000 to get that first deal, and it's a $15,000 average profit or $20,000 average profit. This applies to investors and agents equally. This is just marketing speak right here. So I want to break those numbers down so people could clearly see, okay, $8K turns into $100K. Or when you do it repeatedly, and you didn't have to do a lot of deals in that market. You did 1.1 million the last 12 months with, you know, just a handful of deals, less than a dozen deals. And so once again, guys, pick the markets that you want to do business in, understand the average profit per deal, and put it into marketing channels that can yield great ROIs for you. That was over a 10X return that you're likely getting with your PPC.
Yeah. And just to touch on that point where I feel like Brady said, I don't like stress, is because I look at some of these guys who are doing like 300 deals a year or something, like, how is that possible? Like, you know, but for us, we're a relatively like smaller shop, and we do like maybe like 10 to 12 deals a year now. And so like, there's obviously some like nuance with that, but at the same time, it's not the most stressful job in the world to like, cause we don't have like the same infrastructure or the need for volume that like maybe somebody else is who doing like 300 like wholesales, like, you know, so.
Yep. Love it.
So let's dive into the SEO side of things, cause I think people are really curious about, like, you know, if whether they're on like a few hours a week time budget or whether they just got laid off and they got 80 hours a week to invest in their SEO. Like, let's kind of break down the basic steps you took. Is like, did you have a goal? Was it just the goal of like, I want to rank in Google as fast as possible? Or was it like, okay, I'm going to do this. Let's kind of break it down.
You're talking about the SEO side.
Yeah, like SEO, where did you start? I mean, because SEO is overwhelming for people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, oh, I got to put out content. I got to do blog posts, which Carrot helps with a lot of that. Yeah. But it's like backlinks. There's a million things you could do. So how did you even like stay focused and decide what to do in the first, let's just say the first month? What were you working on in SEO?
I think like the first month was just learning and just like educating myself. So like I'm a big believer in like, I think just, so actually I didn't start my SEO till like later, like, so I just did PPC and I put the Carrot site on top and I just kind of let the Carrot site do its magic. And Carrot is like very good just naturally ranking at SEO, I think. And so I think just by just putting the Carrot site on the web, it was like, I was already on like page 4 or 5 in my market or whatever. So like just by naturally just being in on a Carrot site, like I think like for certain keywords, you already just naturally rank, which is like also very cool. But I think so like after like I got some, like, I think I was focusing on PPC in the beginning. And then when I made the shift to like, hey, let's put some more time and energy and effort into the SEO side, I just began with like a lot of learning, a lot of like reading blog posts, Facebook groups, et cetera, just like trying to learn as much as I can as far as like what actually drives the SEO. And so like from like my limited research or like the things I came with, like a bunch of different, like, I guess like tangible tactics that I was actually personally used. And so one of them was just, I just bought a bunch of domains and just put a bunch of Carrot sites up them and just like rank. Just I bought like, I don't know, like I want to say like 10 or 15 Carrot sites and just like, let's just see which ones do better. Like, you know, and just like the, just like rank or whatever. And so I just like was like tweaking like different ones, like try this one with this one, try something with another one. I also was like, I was buying backlinks from, I think like Upwork or Fiverr, where they'll put like backlinks to your site for you. So there's kind of, so SEO comes in two parts, right? There's on-page SEO and there's off-page SEO. So the on-page optimization is, can you make your page look the most like attractive to Google for these specific keywords? And there's a lot of like different like nuance to that. And I think Carrot naturally has a good way of, as far as just like keyword density, you guys got like phrases, like the linking between the pages, a whole bunch of things of the structure, like the indexing, the whole bunch of things that naturally Carrot does by default that you don't even have to mess with. And you already kind of like see some like some results. The other side is like the, So there's like, there's the SEO side where there's like, you just want to rank in Google, but there's also the conversion side where it's like, just because you're ranking in Google, it doesn't mean people are going to submit on your website, right? So there's like a balance where you want to rank high in Google, but you also want to have like a website that converts well, where people are drawn, they'll stay on your page, and they also want to actually submit something. And so sometimes it's conflicting where the conversion is slightly different than the SEO, because you can't just put like a ton of all the main keywords all over your page, because it's not going to like flow right or whatever, right? For like a seller or somebody who's like actually genuinely looking for your thing. So it's a balance between like, hey, let's put enough SEO magic on my page, but also make this page as high converting as possible. And so that was kind of like the main thing for the on-page stuff. And we can dive into like some of the more nuanced part of that if you want to. But then there's also the off-page stuff, which is like the backlinking and your credibility and those other kinds of things. And so kind of the combination of those two is like basically where I was kind of like, I was working. And so I think in the beginning, I just try to make my page as pretty as possible, or my different pages as pretty as possible. And then just started sending backlinks to like all of them. And then kind of went from there. I mean, I don't know how deep you want me to dive in the rabbit hole as far as like the SEO side.
Well, so
dude, let's kind of touch on the multiple sites part. I was logging into your account, mm-hmm. and I was bringing up a few sites, and this would be cool for the YouTube crew watching this. Mm-hmm. If you're cool with it, Brady, I'm going to do a quick little screen share for the YouTube crew, because there are those questions that people have, is like, why would you do multiple sites? Mm-hmm. How does it work? How does it look? And I'm just going to do a quick little screen share. And if you guys are listening on the audio version of this on the podcast, guys, go to YouTube. Go to YouTube, look up Carrot, Investor Carrot, Agent Carrot. You'll find us over there. Find this episode with Daniel Kong, and you'll be able to see the visual of it. But so you've got Oahu Property Group. You've got House Buyers Hawaii. You've got We Buy Homes Oahu. You've got the Fair Home Buyers, and you've got a bunch more. So I'm only showing a few. Yeah. And as you guys can see, he launched the sites to use a lot of our premium designs, or these ones are premium designs. They're all Carrot sites in here. Right, guys? So this right here, you put in a good Carrot photo in the background. This here is Lenny. And why don't you kind of talk about this, buddy, because that was one really cool thing that you walked through is in the Hawaii market, it's very, very specific to the avatar of the different types of, you know, the cultures that are in that area. So mm-hmm. walk through kind of what you did with the multiple sites with the different avatars in that market.
I think so. Like, Hawaii is like a very unique place in the mainland versus like the mainland or the rest of the United States, where mm-hmm. we kind of have like our local culture, but there's a lot of subcultures. And so it's like not to give you like boring with the details of how like Hawaii became, but there's a lot of different kind of like little pockets of like different ethnicities that people kind of stick together, and they like the people of their ethnicity, right? So we've got the Filipinos, we got the Japanese, we got the Chinese, we got the Hawaiians, we got like the Japanese. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different kind of people, the Samoans, and kind of like every kind of culture. We're all friends. We all like each other. There's a huge aloha spirit. But even within these communities, there's kind of like a pockets of people where like the Filipino home buyers like working with the Filipino realtors. The Samoan like home buyers like working with the Samoan realtors, and there's kind of like these different kind of like mini kind of like subcultures within there, where like the words, the languages, and like the way that you relate to people is very different. And so I think in Hawaii, it's important to understand like the person you're talking to, and then like what they're looking for, what they need to relate to, and what they need to like to solve their problem. You know, so I was thinking like if I just have one site, which is me, I'll appeal to a certain audience or a certain demographic audience as far as like my Carrot site. But I'm also, there's another guy who's looking to sell his house that's like, he's gonna look for a different kind of buyer that fits his avatar as well. And so like I had some other friends in the industry who are also like investors, like, hey, like, dude, like you don't have an online presence, would it be cool if I leveraged like your picture on my page, and we could we'll split some profits if we get deals together or something? And they're like, yeah, sure, like this, I'm down for it. And actually, so like Lenny is a good buddy of mine, and so like we did that with Lenny. Some of the other pictures that you'll see on the websites are just like they're like, you can just buy like these photos of like families or whatever from like just Google or whatever. And so I just put like random families on some of my pages. That's like from the you know, you can buy like images of just whatever. And so they're just local image families, and I just put them on like different sites, and then just to kind of get like a different branding across like the different pages that we're kind of using. So that's basically the thought, is just be as specific or niche as you can to each avatar. And there's like a better chance, I think, of them reaching out to your site over somebody else's. So
That's like one of the most
one thing that it does with it too is when you guys do that, it can increase the conversion rate of your website when it's more hyper focused into an avatar. And so if you guys are looking at or asking the question, like why would someone have multiple sites? Mm-hmm. We don't traditionally say to launch 10 sites in one market, but if your market, number one, here's a reason to do it is if you want to own multiple search results in page one in Google for that same market, you launch different sites. And there, you do have to do SEO for all of those sites, right? Or at least the ones you're wanting to rank for. But now you might be controlling number one, number two, and number three in Google in that same market with three carrot sites, which is hugely valuable. And then you also, you have the different avatars that are being played to through all those. So if there's a market that doesn't have a ton of leads that are coming into it by volume, and you want to cover the majority of or more of that market, multiple carrot sites is a great way to do it.
Yeah. You know, I think there's something really interesting to the mindset there because it's such a creative way to JV deals, excuse me, where most people would look at it as, oh, competitor in my area, I'm going to do everything I can to beat them out in the Google rankings and I'm not going to talk to them. I don't want them to know my secrets. Mm-hmm. But you said, these were my buddies. You said, Lenny, he's one of my buddies and he's not leveraging his online presence. Let's partner up. There's a win-win here. Mm-hmm. I think that's an amazing mindset.
It's kind of cool. Like, I feel like in Hawaii, we have a very like unique community where I hear like, I think I guess other messages on the mainland where maybe like it's more of a doggy dog kind of thing. But a lot of us, we're like, we go to the same appointments we're friends. And I like when sellers ask me, what do you think about this other guy, Dustin? Like, he's an awesome guy. Like my friend, we're talking to this other seller, come high. No, please use him. Like, he's an awesome guy too, you know? So we talk with each other. We collaborate. And I think the collaboration actually helps us to like all succeed because we get better and better together. Like, you know, so the same way at Carrot Camp where like if all of us were just doing our own business by ourselves, we don't have as much like leverage as far as like the other ideas or the other resources, et cetera. But like in Hawaii, there's a group of us investors. We're all friends. We're competitors, but we're also like friends and collaborators as well. Like, you know, so it's funny, like I went to like this house actually the other day with a buddy of mine. Or not with a buddy of mine, like just to buy his house, right? It was on the MLS. And I was like, okay, this is like a great deal. I'm going to put in an offer. And then I saw my other buddy. I was like, dude, what are you doing here? And so he's like, hey, what are you doing here? And so we're like, as opposed to like trying to fight over this house, let's just collaborate and put in a deal and offer together. And so we're partying the deal because like, hey, like it's more fun with partners too at the same time, you know? And so there's tons of opportunity out there. So.
That's awesome. Well, we got about 10 more minutes here, Daniel. Let's break down the SEO a little bit more, and then we'll kind of wrap it up with like, you know, what your experience has been like with Carrot. And then, so you were doing on-page and off-page SEO. Were you doing both of those at the same time? And I'm also curious, like with all these different websites, like how did you prioritize?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're doing it at the same time. So, I mean, I'm constantly tweaking and updating the pages as far as like trying to adjust the look and feel for the conversion and also the SEO at the same time, right? So like trying to work on both sides of it on the on page, just like learning as far as like the different things that you need to optimize that. And then on the off page side, there's a bunch of different things you can do to get your page ranked just organically. And so like some things are backlinks is important. I think you can buy backlinks from a service or you can do them yourselves, etc. There's like citations where you want to show up as like your local business in like in your area. So there's a bunch of different like sites where you can just register like your business on their site. And then now you have like a legitimate like local citation. I think there's Google My Business. There's a few other different ones you can use, etc. Then just creating like a Facebook pages for like my sites, creating Yelp pages, creating BBB accounts for like your businesses, and just having as much like authority or other kinds of like things that are linking to your site or your site is linking to, that kind of gives like your Google the indicator that, hey, this site seems like it's connected to other sites as well. And so it seems like a more legitimate than it's just a standalone site by itself. And so that's kind of like the general overarching thing of like the off-page SEO and as far as like just trying to get your site ranked like organically.
So you launched just a quick recap, you launched your carrot site or you launched your first 1 million carrot sites and then you started building that web. We understand the World Wide Web. You started building that web, getting your citations, getting your business listed in other places like Yelp, like Google My Business, all over the internet. And then you were buying backlinks. And then, so you did that, tell Google, hey, I'm everywhere, I'm credible, I'm legitimate. And then you started working on the on-page. What were some of the things you were doing with on-page? Were you using like the Carrot blog post? on your website? Were you adding anything new in there, adding specific pages?
I think the blog posts for sure. We're like regularly updating the blog posts and like posting those to those regularly. And then I think just adjusting the some of the structure here and there, where like I just wanted to customize it to make it stand out from the other carrot pages, because like the, even though you rank well, like organically, like with the default ones, you also look like the other pages. So changing all the pictures for sure, changing some of like the phrases at the top to see like which ones like maybe, and just like, there's kind of like A/B testing at the same time too, just to see which one Google or the, like the sellers actually like more. Like, do you want to see, I can buy your house in 7 days. I can give you a cash offer in 24 hours. Do you want to sell your house with whatever? So just there's different kinds of things you can use or different kinds of offers you can give, and just trying to like A/B testing the different 10 different sites to see which ones is a better converting and which ones does Google like better, etc., as far as just like the rising to the top. And so
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that from a testing perspective, not only using it to reach different avatars, but having, you can almost have the same exact websites, but just, you know, testing different hooks and different headers, which kind of messaging is really connecting with people. Okay, I like that. We'll link up Daniel's website in the show notes, but go ahead and if you've listened to this episode, go look at Daniel's I think it's your We Buy Houses Hawaii website.
Yeah.
WeBuyHousesHawaii.com. I noticed when we were at Care Camp, I was looking at your about page, and it is really dialed in, man. You were talking about professionalism earlier, mm-hmm. and there's this kind of balance between like, how do you maintain professionalism, mm-hmm. but still be that local, you know, family guy who's just fun to be around. And I think your about page is probably one of the best examples I've ever seen of somebody who maintains that professionalism, but then says, here's my team, you know, because your spouse is on there, your team is on there. And it's really well dialed in. It's like, I don't want to sell my house, but I want to work with this guy, you know?
You know, it's funny. I actually get Amanda and Vela are relatively new additions. And before, we didn't have our interns on there, but I mean, just because of the success that Carrot's been able to give us, now we have, I want to say margin or play money to basically like hire like interns or have like opportunities for other people to kind of be a part of this. And it's just because of like the some of the success we've had like in the past like couple years. And so our team's definitely grown over that time, but I definitely had sellers reach out to me and say like, you know, like, I like what you're doing with like your family as a family business, and that's one of the reasons why I reached out to you, because you're not a corporate or like a one of like the upness or like the with the Redfin guys or something. I said, oh no, I appreciate that. And I think that's a big like competitive advantage you have in your market, where you might not be on the first ranking or the most able to like be the biggest guy on the block, but then, like, you can relate to people on a more personal level or on a more on a personal level, then people are more willing to work with you or they want to work with you. And it's kind of funny because we've experienced that too in our business, where we've talked to other investors that actually offered our sellers more money, but then they actually decided to go with us for whatever reason. I think just because maybe we were local or we were able to connect with them, or their avatar better than like other people were too, like, you know. And so
that's probably because you're on Carrot. That's probably the only reason. So, hey, we noticed you had a Carrot website. So
like, I'm just kidding. To be fair, like a lot of my friends are in Carrot too. And so like because we're going to some of the same appointments, and it's like they're having a lot of success too, because they're also using Carrot as well. Yeah. Like, you know, so there's more than enough to go around. And like we're not trying to win every deal that we come across. There's like, we want to share, and we want to like have our friends also succeed as well too. Like, you know, and so.
Yeah. Well, in all seriousness, like everybody listening to this, go back, rewind, because that's the magic. Like what Daniel just said is that, like, I don't care if you're a Carrot member or if you're not. I mean, I do care, but whether you're a Carrot member or not, any product you buy, you can't just expect to buy the thing and expect results right out of the box. And you did put in the work for SEO. You did supplement with paid ads, with PPC in the beginning. You did make sure your pages were set up and prepared to get those PPC leads. But you put in the work to have that credibility, you know. And without that, you can't expect the same results. And so I love that. Like, you can't be, if you're trying to hide behind this wall of like, oh, I'm just going to pretend to be this business and not put a face to your business, you can't expect what Daniel's getting. You can't expect the results that other people are getting if you're going to hide there. I love that. We got a couple minutes before we wrap it up. Tell me about the what the lead quality has been like with Carrot. And for context, you weren't doing any like cold calling or direct mail, right?
You know, after we were had success with Carrot, now our marketing budget got a lot bigger. So then I was like, let's try some other channels and see how they do. So like we've done direct mail, we've done texting, cold calling, we spent a bunch of money on those other things as well. But none of it returned personally the same like ROI that I was getting on Carrot. So over the past, like let's say like I think like 4 months, we kind of actually scaled back from our other marketing to just focus mostly on our online and then also some of our MLS deals that's also available. And so it was actually like, and I know guys, and I think like every marketing channel works. So like if there's direct mail works, texting works, cold calling works, I've got friends that are crushing it in those areas in our market. But for me personally, I like Carrot for like a lot of the reasons where there's like less leads to sort through. When we were doing texting, it was like a full-time job, man. We were texting like 5,000 people a day. It was like ridiculous. And so we were like, I mean, you're talking to hundreds of people at the same time. You're trying to like manage these leads and we had to build like this complex CRM and it was just me too. So I was fumbling so many leads, like the things we're trying to go through that. But at the end of the day, I was like, you know, like for the same amount of marketing spend in Carrot, I was getting way more like return and way less stress and way less work for them, like a lot bigger return than I was like on my other channels. That's why we kind of scaled back from those other channels just to focus on at least Carrot for now. And then maybe we're going to slowly add like other channels as we kind of build the team bigger. So
That's awesome. You know, I never thought about that. Like, I mean, we know that the Carrot leads close. We actually did a survey recently where the Carrot leads are closing leads into deals. It was like 7.2, over 7% higher than non-Carrot leads. And so we know that. But one thing I hadn't thought about until you just said it was that even with texting, you know, even if there are some quality, quote unquote, quality leads in there, you're getting so many, you're inundated, you're having to sift through them. If you're not sifting through the 40 leads you just paid good money for, you're going to miss the good one. And that's interesting.
And on the other side of that too, like what Daniel was saying, let's say you do sift through the 40 leads. Well, who's going to do it, right? In order to get a deal, it might be 40 to 60 leads of direct mail to get a deal. Someone's got to call those people or talk to them. It's either going to be you at dinner time or bedtime with your kids or 8 gazillion of those, or it's going to be someone that you hire. And so that's one of the cool things about the evergreen marketing is you can, like you were saying, Brady, it's 7 times higher lead to close ratio. So 7x higher lead to close ratio, guys and gals. And that means your business changes at that point. Like the structure of your business fundamentally changes by your marketing. The structure of your business fundamentally changes by your marketing. If you have a lot of low quality leads, you have to have employees, big systems to sift through all the crap. If you have a lot of high quality leads, you have less systems, less overhead in order to do that. So dude, that insight right there is magic. And I want people to lock into that.
Or even like to like even further your point, I'd say like, if I'd rather have like versus like a lot of low quality leads, I just have like a few high quality leads, because that makes your life even easier, right? Like I don't want a lot of high quality leads. I just want a few high quality leads, because that's all you need to kind of like make your business run. And just the less, I mean, like exactly what you're saying is like, it's just less overhead, less stress when you're dealing with less people. And then there's a big difference, I think, in the lead quality where you're reaching out to them and chasing somebody else versus like they're reaching out and chasing you, right? It's like the direction of like the conversation is different versus like, hey, are you interested? Or hey, I'm interested. Like, how can I help you kind of thing, you know? So that's what we really like about the Carrot experience.
Love it. Maybe I totally misheard you, but did you say party? Like, were you comparing it to a party when you started that?
No, I'm
not sure. Take that as a no. Oh man, that's so funny. Like the whole time you're describing that, I thought you said party, and I'm imagining like a party with 100 people, like who aren't your closest friends, who you're trying to get out of your way to connect with. And I thought it was this really deep analogy, like versus a party with your 5 friends, and they're really high quality. And
that's anyways. A great analogy, though. That's a great analogy.
We might have to start using that one. I was like, oh man, Daniel's so smart. Like,
I'll take credit for it, though. Definitely.
There we go. So what's the we'll wrap it up here in a sec. What's the lead quality difference like when you get on the phone with them? What's the motivation like versus these evergreen leads from SEO, PPC versus someone who's, you know, a text lead or direct mail?
I mean, it's night and day. I think on average, the lead quality from like an inbound channel, like with Carrot, is like, it's going to be a lot more excellent because there's already motivation. They've already expressed interest that they want to sell the house. So then it's like you're just trying to sift through and see like, are we a good fit to work together? Versus like the other quality is you got to check and see like, do they even want to sell their house? Do I need to convince them that they need to sell their house? Because a lot of times it's kind of crazy because people are in like very difficult situations where like, dude, like we're in the best situation for you. Like you're in foreclosure, but they're like an ostrich with their head in the sand and they don't want to like face the truth, right? And so when you're doing like this outbound marketing, you're kind of like, you're trying to save these people, but they don't want to be saved. Like, you know, like you're trying to throw the life raft, but then they're like, I don't want the life raft kind of thing, you know? But then the people who will come to you through the Evergreen or like the carrier, they're like, hey, hand me the life raft. And so here's a life raft for you. It's just an easier kind of like transaction or experience when the person who's coming to you knows that they need the help versus you're trying to help them and they don't even realize that they're in trouble, you know?
There's a good analogy. That's the one we're looking for. That's a better one. I love that. You might see that pop up in some of Carrot's marketing. That's great. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Trevor, I know you got to run. Man, this has been a blast. Daniel, I commend you for everything you're doing. It's really cool and inspiring to see you doing the business the way that you are. It's one thing to be successful and, you know, it's fun to tout numbers like, oh, over $1 million in net profits in a year of, you know, investing, flipping. But I think what's even better is like how you are handling the relationships around you, your team, and how you're serving sellers really well and solving problems. And you're not just out there to make another dollar. So commend you for that. Thank you for all the kind things you've shared about Carrot and sharing your story with other people. I know that people are getting a lot of value out of this and knowing like what they can do if they've just signed up for Carrot. So thank you, man.
Yeah. Thank you guys. No, and I just want to say thank you again, just because like really like the opportunity, the product you guys put out and just the quality that you guys give really supercharged my investing career and honestly changed my life. And so like, I can't say enough nice things about you guys. And like, thank you guys so much for just the opportunity and that you've given me and my family and also like hopefully given to the other families as well. So.
Dude, that makes me smile right there, buddy. So I appreciate you big time. Next time I head back to Hawaii, I want to get over to Oahu this time. We always go to Maui or we went to Kauai this last time. So we need to check out Oahu. I'd love to hang out with you and see your stomping grounds, buddy.
No, I appreciate please, you or Brady, come visit, man. We'd love to have you.
I love it. Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Well, thank you, everybody. If you're listening to this, if you're not a subscriber of the podcast, go subscribe, follow on Apple Podcasts, or go check us out on YouTube. Tuesdays, we have these normal interviews. We'll do Behind the Deal live every other Thursday where we break down deals with agents and investors. And on Thursdays, don't forget to listen to Trevor's Truck Talks where we talk about mindset and kind of that behind-the-scenes journey with Trevor as the CEO of Carrot. And share this episode with a friend and thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week.
See you guys.